Hey everybody, Shane here. Are you and your friends trying to figure out what to do tonight? Hit up do314.com, the best place to find out about all the concerts and comedy shows and art openings and other cool stuff going on around St. Louis every night of the week. They're also giving away tickets to shows and festivals all the time. Go follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at do314. Take it from me, I'm always trying to find shows, and this is where I go, do314.com.
Hell yeah, brother.
Yo, this is the Manus Brothers. We're on Rock Paper Podcast.
We're on Rock Paper Podcast?
We're doing a Rock Paper Podcast.
You're listening to Rock Paper.
You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
This is the Manus Brothers.
Got it, that was
nailed it.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Set. Short times.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, episode 80.
Yeah.
Hanging out here in St. Charles, Missouri at the Trailhead down here in historic Main
Got
Street.
Special mafia room for this podcast.
Hanging out. We got Jim here, guest hosting once again.
They're eventually going to get sick of me.
Yeah, I mean,
or I just kind of like pop in every once in a while. It's like I'm here sometimes and I'm not here. So like, when's he going to be here and when's he not? So if you notice, the downloads probably go up when I'm not here. Yes. That's probably why.
Yeah.
But it's cool. I don't even care.
Right.
I'll cry myself to sleep tonight. So.
Yeah, no, I do it every night. So, we're hanging out with Jake and David, and I just make sure I pronounce it right. Is it Manus or is it how do you guys?
Manus. Yeah, all right, Manus Brothers.
Good. I just want to make sure because
Way you like, we'll still respond.
Yeah.
Just, it is Manus.
Hey, dude. Oh, yeah. You talking to me? Yeah, just whatever. You know, whatever works.
Is this mute on?
No.
The red light's on.
Yeah, no, it's supposed to be on.
I'm just checking.
Hey, what is this, your first
I'm
podcast?
Not used to seeing it from this side.
Jeez.
I never see the microphone.
Rookie.
I know.
You guys are amateurs.
Yeah.
I know, I am. So, I am.
That's it. This is the podcast over. thanks for coming out, guys. I'm really
thanks so much for having us, dude.
Awesome.
Super excited to get to meet you guys and talk a little rock and roll and blues with you. And
heck yeah.
But yeah, so you guys been in St. Louis all your life, or you guys move here later? Or?
We've been playing music in St. Louis for a long time,
for our whole lives.
Yeah.
But, we only play in St. Louis. I mean, we're from around here, like St. Charles-ish area.
Right.
Yeah. But, yeah, St. Louis is our home base for anything as far as music goes.
And you guys, how long have you been working the road, though, like touring? Like,
this year is when we really hit it hard. We did a couple dates last year, but we're probably close to 60 dates out of town this year. And that's pretty much our main focus is touring. And we got a new record coming out this fall.
Yeah.
So... yeah,
very cool.
Been really fun though.
Yeah, I know. I've been following Jeremiah Johnson, and he's been on the show. But he's one. You know, he's been putting in a lot of time and hustling here in St. Louis. And now,
oh, definitely, now, he's the man. I like that dude a lot.
Yeah, now he's doing like 200 dates a year and stuff on the road, and it's really cool to see that. You know, you don't have to be from, you know, whatever, Austin or Nashville or whatever, some big music town, but you can come out of St. Louis and you can, you know, make a name for yourself.
Oh, definitely, man. I'd like to think St. Louis has, you know, some of the best bands and venues around the country, really.
They breed some good musicians, man. I mean, nothing's cliche really coming out of here. Everything's kind of, it's got a little bit of a dirt, even if you're like a really poppy band or anything, it's got like still like a little
got
bit
a
of
unique
grit.
Sound to it.
A little bit of a grit to it.
And it's always good. Makes you feel good going out on the road and seeing, you know, another band from St. Louis's flyer up on the wall.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't really know. I would like to think that a lot of that comes from, I mean, obviously we have a very eclectic mix of people in St. Louis and surrounding areas and things, but... you know, just that Midwest kind of attitude, hardworking people, like, you know, that we put in the hours and the effort and try to, you know.
Totally.
So it's, you know, working at their craft for years and years.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. So what got you guys into playing music? Who would you say is one of your biggest, like, influences in the...
I mean, when I first started, it was Jimi Hendrix. I would just listen to all his licks and just learn them.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, basically like classic rock, kind of 70s stuff.
Definitely like classic rock.
Into
he bought a Hendrix
blues
album,
stuff.
And I remember, you know, probably stealing that from his room and listening to that, you know, while I was hanging out or doing whatever. And our dad was really into Hendrix. Our parents really into classic rock. Her grandparents really into all kinds of stuff, Clapton and just Ray Charles, whatever, across the board.
Yeah.
But,
that's a lot of, like, I grew up real heavy. My dad played a lot of Southern rock stuff, a lot of Allman Brothers, ZZ Top, and Skinner. Totally. And
same here.
That stuff runs through my blood, man.
Right.
But, I mean, he also, I think it helped influence my taste in music because he also, I remember I have a lot of memories of, he had like a Conway Twitty box set.
Yeah.
So I listened to a lot of that, and all over the place, and I feel like, I mean, I've discovered a lot on my own, but I love all that stuff that I picked up from my parents. And
totally.
Oh yeah, it's always, I mean, you gotta start somewhere.
Our dad was super into country. I mean, more like the '90s country, which was I would, like, really dig '90s country. Yeah. I mean, I don't pop in my CD player or anything. But, I mean, that stuff is, like, the closest thing to, the Hank Williams and George Jones and stuff that I really, really got into. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I listened to recently a lot, is old country, Waylon Jennings and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, our dad, he joined the service and he would listen to Waylon Jennings, in the Army, and he carried around a picture of Hendrix in his wallet for a couple of years.
Oh, wow.
So that definitely...
Yeah, he was, like, really into him, like, in a weird spiritual kind of thing or something. Yeah. I don't even know what the deal was with that. But that is a thing that was going on for a little while.
It's great that, you talk about the old country and how, like, a guy like Sturgill Simpson now is having a huge career.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
And bringing that sound back.
Yeah, it's great. And I've noticed, like, people like Rolling Stone have been picking up on that.
Yeah.
It's amazing, man. I mean, it's just funny, too, because he knows that he's not getting played on these radio stations, but he's... He's one of the biggest country artists around, and it's great. I think that kind of country is making a bit of a comeback, and it needs to be.
Well, I think people are just totally done with the
pop country, man.
There's definitely
pop music in general.
Pop country. I don't know how you can feel like a man listening to pop country. I worked at a wood shop, and the only thing you listen to is the pop country, like the Bull and stuff, and it's like, what is going on with
this? What is this shit you were listening to?
It's crazy.
Well, they've caught into, anything playing pop country is just about the same as anything like Justin Bieber, just big business, bullshit.
Same gatekeepers controlling the same music, no matter what genre.
Nobody's listening. It's okay. There's another guy I like a lot is... Whitey Morgan.
I love Whitey Morgan. He's pulling the Waylon Jennings hard, and I love that.
Man, yeah. But I haven't even got to see him yet. I really want to. Everywhere we go, man, he's everywhere, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I saw him. Yeah, that dude's a total road warrior, man. He's always on the road. But I met him, or I didn't meet him that night, but I saw him open for Seeger at Scotch Ridge.
That is pretty wild. I did not know that.
And that was my first exposure to him. I'm like, who's this?
I know he plays off Broadway a lot.
Yeah. So I saw him at Scott Trade, and I was like, I really liked everything. I went out and bought his vinyl at the merch table, and then a couple months later, I noticed his name pop up at off Broadway. So obviously, going from a huge arena, to a small club, it was really something cool to see.
He played some, Kid Rock's, like, chilling the most, cruising on a boat tour thing. Whitey Morgan got on that, which seems like a pretty fun gig.
Pretty choice gig, dude. I don't know.
I wouldn't turn it down.
I wouldn't pay to go to that, but if I was Whitey Morgan, I'd be like, I might as well just do this little cruise thing and have a good time.
Yeah. It's good, baby. Yeah, I mean, that's... party on a boat, that sounds like fun.
Oh, yeah, totally.
We also kind of said off mic, there's another, we all like Chris Stapleton a lot. And he's kind of, I don't really feel like he's as far old country like, Haggard and Jones and all that stuff, but he's definitely got that, I listen and, like, I hear, some like Travis Tritt and kind of stuff like that. Some of that kind of remind, so that's a little more '90s country. But
yeah, I could see that. For sure.
he's kind of also seems like he's got that George Jones, I'm going to play whatever the fuck I want and write how I want, and either you like it or you don't.
Oh, yeah, dude, he doesn't care about anything.
I love that.
I watched a video about him. I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. It's like this really shitty YouTube video of him playing this bar in Nashville, and he's like, he's saying, I wrote this song if I hadn't been for love. Yeah. And everybody in the crowd, nobody knows who he is, really. I don't know where he's playing or what he's doing.
Right.
But everybody doesn't believe that he wrote that song.
I believe
he's singing this song, and it's like... It's just funny to me.
The guy's just, it's insane the catalog that guy's wrote for Nashville. Like,
right.
The, and, you know, everybody, he wrote Drink a Beer that Luke Bryan did. And, I mean, I know he's.
I never heard that one.
Yeah, it's pop country.
Right.
Yeah,
totally.
So, but yeah, it's a pretty good tune. It's just like, the lyrics are fine, but it's the whole thing when Luke starts singing it bothers me.
Yeah.
But I mean, he.
I like that. I like the song right up to the point he opens his mouth.
Right.
And, you know, then he lost me.
But he's, you know, like I know pretty much all those big guys, Blake Shelton and everybody else, and they all have.
He wrote that Darius Rucker song, did he? Comeback song?
Yeah, Comeback song, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Well, a lot of them, like.
That's me and Jake's big jam.
Oh, is it?
Oh, man.
Love me some Hootie.
Fucking, I remember David had the fucking, he had a pretty good cassette collection, Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yeah, Blues
he's
Travelers.
He's always going to be fucking Hootie to me, I don't care what genre he does.
But I'd say fucking Blues Traveler is like.
Blues Traveler is still to this day
a pretty like fucking
four,
most amazing ass band, man. Yeah, I mean, those dudes can play.
Band, man.
Yep. My favorite Hootie story, by far,
I love how we're just like segueing into Hootie like totally.
Yeah, hey, man.
You can't, you know, you can't go without a little bit of Hootie.
Hey. That's going to be our new motto. We have to have a Hootie story.
Yeah,
totally.
But no,
for all the future listening, you better get your Hootie stories ready because.
Well, we already heard that Hootie story. Like, no, I saw him like, you know, this is a couple years back, obviously, before he became a country success. But he was on one of those like I Love the 90s shows on VH1.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were. Forget what he's even talking about, but he was saying how like this is after Hootie broke up and he's kind of in, you know, the in-between thing, and then like how he would go to coming through the airport and everybody's like, you know, screaming out Hootie, you know, and he's like, you know, hey, my name's not Hootie, my name's Darius, and then he's like, now he's like this, and then the punchline is like, now I just wish somebody would call me Hootie. Like, so I was like, that is so funny, man.
Oh,
like this,
my God.
This guy, I mean, that was the thing. Like, Hootie was huge.
Oh, my God,
And then, like, they broke up, and he kind of disappeared, and now he's back. And
back.
Then, like,
I guess he's back,
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
He made a comeback.
I don't even know that much about
that's for sure that he
for
did
real.
Make a comeback.
Yeah,
somewhat
at least
of a
he
comeback.
Wrote that, or at least
he wrote that
sang
somewhere.
That song.
He sang
it's on one of his records.
He sang a song about a comeback song, so we all know that.
You know, it's... He's got another song. I'm pretty sure it's Don't Think I Don't Think About It or something like that. Or one of the... There was another one of them that he wrote, like, with... or Chris Cornell, like, wrote it or something. Like, it was kind of a weird thing, like, to hear...
I didn't know Chris Cornell has written...
Yeah, I mean, like...
songs.
Yeah.
Man. What's Chris Cornell do? Like, Audio Slave, Soundgarden?
Yeah, yeah.
You know Chris Cornell, right? You know those bands. I know those bands. Black Hole Sun.
I think you just became my new best friend.
I don't know the songs. I don't know like any of their songs. You know Black Hole Sun. I don't know Black Hole Sun.
Black Hole Sun, won't you come?
Oh, sorry. We can go on. Yeah, you have to know that song.
I'm not
David
like...
David loves that song.
I'm not like huge on a lot of that. I mean, I love it.
I like the Temple of the Dog stuff.
Yeah. Temple of the Dog was pretty cool.
But I like...
Just because it was him and Eddie Vedder.
I have this...
I'm over it.
I have this album. It's Chris Cornell Live Unplugged in Sweden. And it's one of the best records. Like, I mean, the sound is like perfectly produced on that. Like, and they mic'd everything perfectly, and it sounds so good for an acoustic set like that. And
I'm sure it does, man. I mean, I don't really want to go on record super hard. I can dig on some Chris Cornell stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I could see him doing a pretty killer acoustic album.
What's cool about it, like, is because he does, like, everything. Like, he does, there's a couple of Audio Slave, a couple of Soundgarden. He does, like, Zeppelin Thank You cover.
Okay. Yeah, I love
he does,
that song.
He does Billie Jean on there.
I can dig some Billie Jean.
Yeah, and so it's like, it's great that he has, and I think there's even Temple of the Dog, like, I forget which one.
It's like Hunger Strike or something.
I saw him one time at Lollapalooza, like when Lollapalooza was a touring thing, when I was probably like 14 years old, and he covered that White Stripe Seven Nation Army with his band Audioslave.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty killer.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I was 14, and it was really killer when I was 14.
That's an interesting choice for him, though.
It was weird.
For White Stripes cover.
It was very weird.
I like that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think I did that Original Fire, is it Audioslave song?
I don't know.
I'm not even a huge, like, really familiar with a lot of Audioslave stuff.
I just know, like, I couldn't tell you a little bit anything about any of that,
right.
I guess.
It's okay. We won't judge. Yeah.
But I can dig on some Eddie Vedder. You're talking about some Eddie Vedder. Yeah. He did that Into the Wild soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty cool.
You guys familiar with Cetal Davis?
Who?
Cetal Davis. He's this old school hill country blues guy.
He's probably one of the. He's him and
the last living,
the last living original Fat Possum.
What do you have? Polio, real bad. So he learned how to play polio. Guitar with butter knives and spoons. But on his new record, talking about Eddie Vedder, guitar player from Pearl Jam is recording on his new album, which is
pretty
bizarre
crazy.
To me.
Funny, not funny at all, actually, but he actually got trampled in East
in
St.
Louis. St. Louis. So it was like
at a show a while back. So he had polio before that.
Like playing
and then
I could easily
really
see
just
somebody
fucked him up.
Trampled in East St. Louis.
Huh. Yeah, that's like, as far as I know, is the only new thing that I've heard. The Pearl Jam, I think, what is his name, Mike McCready? I don't know much about Pearl Jam, but he's recording on his album, which is crazy.
Hmm. I mean, it is crazy. It's not that crazy, though, because anybody should want to record on Seal's album. I mean, that dude can fucking kill, legend, man.
For sure.
Hell if you like fat women, come down to Pine Bluff, Arkansas. That's
it's one of his songs, man. It's good. It's real good.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I'm not...
You should.
That's that's one of the... I love about this is just picking people's brains and kind of talking different stuff.
Yeah,
where,
totally.
Because it helps me, get more, exposed to stuff that
right, totally.
We come from very different backgrounds and whatever. And our
this session, we've already touched base on Hootie.
Yeah,
got a little bit of Chris Cornell.
We'll check that off.
Waylon Jennings.
Dive a little bit of those two. Chris Stapleton, Cetal Davis, those guys should be talked about.
For sure.
A lot more than they are.
I'd say Mississippi Hill Country Blues in general is one of our bigger influences as a band, and it's just mainly as music listeners and players.
Yeah.
I mean, those
guys. As far as with a two-piece, too, it's like I do a lot of that Kimbrough stuff where it's like the bass, you're picking the bass line, and you do the lead on top of that, so that's pretty much...
And the way those guys sing is just like... I mean, they didn't really get recorded until they were almost 60. Their songs are like...
Well, nothing sounds super really good, too, and that's really good for us because we sound super really good vocally. I mean, he sounds pretty good.
Oh, I don't know.
My voice, you don't have to sound really good when you're playing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's just me and everybody else is like, man.
Oh, the Mass Brothers.
No, I think you guys are... To me, you guys are part of that movement. Where, like, there's a few groups that are doing it now. They're just playing that "fuck you" rock and roll. Like, I'm gonna play how I want, and if you guys like it, you like it. I don't give a shit if you don't or not.
Totally. But it might not even be as much as that. It's just that maybe we just suck. We're just doing it as hard as we can.
Yeah.
We
definitely
don't sound good sometimes.
Well, it's like Brothers Lee and the Leather Jackals.
Yeah,
I mean, those guys in the same league. Like they
just
play
rock
and play,
roll.
And they
rock
were
and roll is making a comeback. I think
I'd like to think that too.
They
good rock and roll, yes.
Yeah.
So you guys are definitely part of that for sure.
Thanks, dude.
Man, what was
gotta give credit where credit's due, man.
Oh yeah, man.
Like we were talking about, there's so much bullshit now. Like I haven't even turned on the radio in probably 6 months. So, I mean, if I listen to the radio, it's 103.3, and even that's kind of depressed me now because
that shit, but,
they're only playing 70s and 80s
heard that
now.
In a long time.
I'll throw on
88.1.
I'll throw on KDHX, and honestly, I'll throw on KDHX, and a lot of times even just be like, man, like. I don't even feel like listening to, like, Cajun or, like, super traditional blues
they get
right
a little
now.
Crazy, but
I usually got my iPod on, honestly. But
yeah, that's pretty much where I live is on my iPod now.
But KDHX is
KDHX's probably my number
one. We've been getting into some more stuff, though. Do you guys dig on, like, there's a band called Witchcraft?
Oh, yeah.
Witchcraft. I'm getting into them a lot. I stay with this guy in Fort Wayne, Indiana, that he was just one of those guys that just, he saw us play, and he was like, all right, you guys.
Got to listen to this band and this band.
So he gave us, like, three bands, and, well, Pentagram was one. I don't know if you guys know Pentagram.
Oh, that's a Pentagram's one. And honestly, I almost felt bad for not already being like
because they're like a cult legendary band.
But a lot of Black Sabbath-y kind of era sounding influence kind of deal.
I do that a lot. Like there'd be something somebody will suggest something, and I'm like, or I'll discover it on my own through Pandora or whatever various things, and then I'm like. Damn it! Why has nobody told me about this band?
Right,
you know,
totally.
Like, you know,
yeah, definitely. Totally. I mean, there's so many bands out there, especially bands that like aren't big or didn't meet the right people or whatever you know that are still gonna blow your mind. And there's millions of them out
there. Like festivals now, or you got a grouping of all these bands that are amazing bands. It's like, why have I never heard of these before?
Right, yeah,
oh, that's right, because the fucking radio won't play them.
Right,
that's like,
yeah, for real.
Totally, man.
That's
a shame.
That's another big reason why doing stuff like this is great. I mean, we got a, what is it, Matt Harnish. He wrote something about Blue Cheer and 11 Magazine.
Right, yeah.
And I had never heard of those guys before.
No, they're one of our
favorite definitely jumped straight up to one of our favorite bands.
Yeah, we never heard of these guys before. You ever heard of Blue Cheer? Mm-mm. They're like, dudes, they were like before.
That's
I don't want to say it on record. I think they were
around
Black
the same
Sabbath,
time as Black Sabbath.
Time. But they were like the dudes that had amps as tall as they were. Yeah.
Before it was like a thing to do.
Balls to the wall.
Just really, that's
distorted.
I mean, talking about straight rock and roll.
Yeah, just like not giving a shit about anything. And those were like the guys that like Clapton, like and other people probably say, that they like pioneered, you know, like doom metal and whatnot like that.
Right. Doom or sludge or
Blue
stoner
Cheer.
Or something like that.
Blew my mind.
I was listening to Stern last week, and he had Royal Blood on. You guys know those dudes?
No, I don't.
They're me and Jim.
Guys are fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Two piece, like bass player plays. It's pretty heavy shit.
Royal Blood.
Instead of playing having a lead guitar, it's bass as lead and then drums and a lot of pedals and But they they're from UK. They're sort of getting their big break right now because they're touring with Foo Fighters this summer.
Oh, weird, man.
And but Ian Howard was talking to him, and he was raving on about because like he was really impressed the fact that they were a two piece.
Yeah.
He's like I've seen three piece. You know, like Cream is one of his favorites, and he's like I love Cream, and then it's like, but to see two people doing it, and you got him making as much noise as they do, and it's kind of a novelty thing a little bit, you know, like to have the two piece, you know, like is just the you know kind of the bare essentials of a but
a little bit. Yeah.
When you guys can,
I do enjoy playing with a bass player and all
it's
that
like,
too.
It's the only way we can like do it. Actually, right now, I mean. It's the only way we can tour, and then
I mean we're brothers, so we can really rely on each other, you know, more than a lot of bands can.
Yeah, we both have the same goals and stuff. We've both been in, you know, plenty of other bands that kind of fizzled out,
and we can't really fit any more gear into our car when
we
tour
at all.
So, I mean,
we tour in a Nissan Rogue. It's like a small SUV,
midsize kind of deal.
Yeah,
that's why I wish I've been playing music for God 16 years, and it's like I wish I had a brother to play music with. Because like I'm sure me and him would have the same thoughts and ideas of where he wanted to go. It's like, but my parents suck. Sorry, Mom, love you, but left me all by myself.
We got most of the same ideas. We definitely butt heads quite a bit.
Oh yeah, I mean, I feel like being brothers, you get into fights and
how far apart are you guys?
About four years.
Yeah.
23 and 28.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and I got a little brother, and we're like about. 2.5 years apart, but we're very, very different. Like, you know, I don't know. It's kind of.
I think the age gap being that kind of far apart helped out because, like, I was always in bands, you know, in high school, and when I was in high school, I was like 15, so he was like 11.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'm not gonna hang out with with my 11-year-old brother a lot. Yeah. I mean, I did.
We didn't really start hanging out until a long time. We were both in bands in high school.
We didn't start jamming together
really until we had both kind of already been in bands that had played out.
Very much
and
so.
And we're like, you know, we
both started the band as a side project.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because we wanted to get a set together.
Yeah.
And then both of our other bands kind of just dropped out.
It kind of was just really like, I mean, shit, we're trying to both do music, you know, that's what we love, that's what we want to do, and, you know, why would we both be in separate bands when we can work together doing it, you know, since we're together all the time.
Plus, we're both, like, super serious about it as far as, like, everybody else.
And it's hard to find somebody else
that
wants to do exactly what you want to do.
As serious as you are.
It's nearly impossible. I couldn't imagine touring with a four-piece band ever. I mean, like, unless we've met a lot of people who are serious about music now just from being in, you know, the city and the scene and whatnot.
Well, you meet a lot of other people, too, and it's like, why don't you tour? And it's like, oh, well, fucking John Bo doesn't, he's got a job and doesn't want to leave, or he's getting married, or doesn't, you know, take it seriously. Totally. But it's really hard to find the type of person who just really wants to, you know, do that just because they love it and they want to go out and have a good time and just do what they want
to
do.
Yeah. We talked to, we mentioned Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals on the show, and we talked with those dudes and who I guess they started, or they used to be a six piece, and now they're
they had old Bobby Stevens in the band.
Now they're playing as
been hearing that name a lot.
Bobby Stevens?
Yeah.
Oh man, he should be. He's my homeboy.
Yeah.
He's a cool dude.
No, he is a cool dude. He hooked us up in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah,
we didn't have any
man.
Bands on the bill, and he hooked us up with one of his buddies. He's from there and moved here about 2 years ago. But he's been doing some cool shit.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Lee's Badass, The Wilderness, another really good band. We got them on the festival this year.
Yeah.
Really cool-ass dudes.
Let's dig into that, man. You guys, this lineup's ridiculous.
I'm pretty happy about this year's lineup.
You know, it's hard to pick what bands you're getting when you're coming from a town like St. Louis.
It's
and
very,
when you're
very
coming
hard.
From, I mean, touring and meeting so many great bands, you know, and you can only get like 20 bands or you know, you can only get so many people in,
and it just
it's
is
hard
you
to
can't
not,
book the same
you know.
Fest every year. I mean, you can, but we kind of want to switch it up.
Sure.
And it's like, I don't know. Right on.
Some more ice cold beers
so
coming.
Heck yeah.
There we go.
But
as far as the festival goes, we got 20 plus bands. We're really excited on all
Thanks,
of them.
Man.
We are every year. It's a day that we both look forward to, you know, more than anything else. We get to hang out with people, you know, that we've met across the country that we don't get to see all the time.
That's the coolest part. It's kind of like a family reunion of sorts.
Absolutely.
Like you just get, you know, all your people you've met around town or, you know, different states and whatnot. You really dig and
just
come and hang out all day.
I just got my first taste of booking when I did that 1 year anniversary party.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, I mean, I wasn't selling tickets, so it was took a little stress off, but you still want people to show. And it was like, you know, I did all this work and promotion. And
the
then
thing about the Whiskey Fest is it's we book so many bands that it doesn't even matter if no one shows up.
Right.
Well, you know, there's
so many bands there, you know
everybody's going to have a good
time. It's going to be there no matter what.
Yeah.
And that's kind of almost like the little thing where, I mean, it's like almost like cheating it. Because it's just like, we know those people are going to be there. And they're like the coolest people to be watching your show. So, I mean, that's a really cool part about it. It's just all those people you book, they love music just as much as you do.
Right.
So it's kind of like the stress is almost gone. I do still worry about it for sure, but I mean, the worst thing that could happen is you hang out with a bunch of your friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's that? Might take a piss.
Oh,
dude, I gotta go to the bathroom too, like real bad.
all them beers, man.
Can we?
All right.
Is it like weird if we pause it?
We're gonna pause.
Yeah, that's a jam.
Yeah, all right.
That was Hootie and the Blowfish with Only Want to Be With You.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, we were talking about the Whiskey War Fest.
Right, yeah.
August 22nd.
It's going to be a good time. VFW Hall, post 2866, fourth annual.
St. Chuck.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the one with the big tank out front?
It is.
Definitely, big old tank out there.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good piece of land. A lot of people don't want to drive to St. Charles for whatever reason, you know. I mean,
cops.
It's a little far away, and there's some cops and shit, but...
I can vouch for 100%.
We got a good little piece of land that it's on. You know, it's kind of all surrounded by woods. You feel like you're in
like
a good festival kind of vibe, you know, and that's why we haven't moved it, because it's really hard to find a venue where you can have outdoor stage. We're going to have two outdoor stages this year, two indoors, and it's like...
That's what I was trying to figure out. Like, I mean, you got a crazy lineup going here. How are you going to manage to have all the people, you know, how they're all going to function, you know?
Yeah, we started early and ended late. It's and, you know, we're adding another
stage
this year.
There's music going on
and
constantly from noon until 1 a.m.
And the hardest part really is, I mean, figuring out who's going to open the day up. Because the band who opens the day up...
Well, actually, it's not our...
Could almost...
Our dad opens it up every year. Last year, we sang the National Anthem with Irene Allen.
He wants to do a Bob Dylan song this year, possibly.
He wants to do a Bob Dylan song this year. He's learning how to play guitar.
That's pretty cool.
Getting a little backup band going. I think it might work out.
Times are changing.
I'm not sure what he's going to do yet.
Ron Burry never heard that song. Yeah.
But really, I mean, you get there right when it starts... And the music that you're going to hear from the first band on is going to be just as good.
Well, there's always something going on. There's vendors, there's artists, there's food. And
that's really cool, man, that you guys are able to get a big community of artists, you know, from art to vendors to musicians all together to do something like that. That's pretty cool.
It's a really great day.
Well, that's kind of
really...
What me and him love about it is that, you know, if we meet somebody and they're doing some stuff that we dig or, like, some cool shit and they're getting involved... It's just fun to have a day where everybody who's into the same thing, who's hanging out, is all doing their thing. One day, they're together, and you might not know, you know, half of the other people who are there doing the same thing as you.
Right.
But everybody has that one main thing in common. Everybody gets along so well. Like, we've done it for 4 years in a row, and we never have any issues whatsoever with people.
Well, we had the ice cream. We had to kick out the ice cream man.
Kick out the ice cream man. That was awesome. That was hilarious.
Yeah,
dive into that,
but yeah, pretty much good vibes all the way throughout. And James Legg, I'd really like
let's dive into
point
James
on.
Legg.
James Legg is one of our mutual favorite performers, you know, all time.
Yeah, he was in the Black Diamond Heavies, which is an amazing two piece band with him. He's playing, you know, keyboard, like Rhodes piano, super dirty, super distorted. His vocals are insanely
just him
gritty.
And a drummer. He's the grimiest, you know,
he
one of the grimiest.
He has St. Louis roots, too. I mean, he was really, really good friends with Bob Reuter.
Well, the funny story is, he's on Bob Scratchy Records.
Yeah,
and
Bob,
I think that the story goes is that James Legg is on his show, and Bob's playing his album.
Well, Bob told him to come on the show, right, and play live.
And he's ended up playing live on Bob's song.
But Bob just played his songs on the air, and he, like, did harmonica and stuff along with it. Like,
that's cool.
So then Reuter pulls this song live off the air to put on his record. So, like, James Legg didn't necessarily record on his studio album, but also did record on a studio album and was released like that.
Anyway, this guy is amazing. You all should check him out. Yeah. Everybody should. He's put out a new album now with Left Lane Cruiser. Well, actually, not with Left Lane, but Left Lane is helping them, you know, put out the record. And
is that coming out on Hillgrass Bluebilly as well as Alive, or just on Alive?
It's coming out on Alive. I know that. It's coming out September 4th, which is nearly, 2 weeks after Whiskey Fest?
Something like that. And I know
he's coming back from a European tour.
He's doing
a
lot of European and U.S. touring
2 weeks before
all around the same time as Whiskey Fest.
He's going to be hot. He's going to be super... Just toned in, like, ready to go.
Once you come in, and if you catch this dude at the fest, you're gonna realize, you know, why somebody loves him as much as they do. You know,
totally.
I mean, he's a phenomenal performer, and his songs are great.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite experiences is to catch somebody live for the first time, and then just totally get it. You know, it's like. Mm-hmm. Where, like, oh, now I get, like, you know, there's some people, like, where, you know, they have a big following, they're popular and things, but I, like, never...
We've talked about this a few times.
But it's
there's certain bands, like, I just don't fucking get it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's bands I'm like, where is this, like, Chris Stapleton, seeing him live at the Firebird, I'm like,
man,
where has this been all of my life?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, my whole outlook on being a musician, artist in any way, shape, or form was changed that evening because he was that fucking good.
Yeah, were you just, like, depressed?
Yeah, I was like, while I'll never be that good.
And his voice is just insane. Yeah. I mean, you can't compete with that voice. It's the best voice that I think in country music, hands down.
Somebody can, what did they say? Somebody compared him to an angry angel. I was like, yeah, I could totally see that.
With Chris, though, it's even more than, I mean, like, the guy can sing, the guy can play guitar, and the band's great, but, like, that unspoken connection with him and his wife on stage, it's like the whole, it's like Johnny and June.
I don't know anything about that. They perform together?
Yeah. She's up there the whole time. He stares in her eyes the whole time. He's
like, doesn't look at the crowd.
Like devils and rope.
Yeah, yeah. Just like that.
There's and that's another, like, Jason Isbell plays with his wife, Amanda, a lot. Like, she also does her own solo shows and things, they play some together, and she plays violin on his sets, and the same thing. Like, he sits there looking at her the whole time, and
it's pretty much what me and Jake do.
Yeah, so
look through each other's eyes. Are you familiar with J.D. Wilkes and the Dirt Daubers or the Dirt Daubers?
Sounds familiar.
There's a legendary Shack Shakers. He's in quite a few different outfits. Yeah. Matt Wilson from the Rum Drum Ramblers actually plays with J.D. Wilkes and the Dirt Daubers now, which is pretty cool. A little St. Louis tidbit, but. Him and Jessica Lee Wilkes play together in that band. They're probably easily one of our favorite, you know, active bands right now.
Isn't there? I've heard the name, but I've never been able to get to know those guys or see them play. But the Rum Drum.
They're really good.
But they're like, aren't they also some of the guys playing with Pokey?
Yeah.
And stuff?
Oh yeah, the Rum Drum Rambler is the South City Three who tours with Pokey. He's got a couple more guys now, but that is. It's those guys, yeah.
Yeah.
Really fucking good players.
Too, yeah. Yep.
Some of the best players I've met, man.
Adam, Ryan, and Joey.
Yeah.
That,
Adam Hoskins is not with Rum Drum, but he plays with another band called Maximum Effort.
Those guys, they're
really good.
Have you ever seen Rum Drum, you guys?
Kind of band, really good.
I had a chance to see him, but I didn't.
Rum Drum's one of my favorite bands, period. I mean, they're just a little more kind of gritty than Pokey is.
Rum Drum and Reuter and Ollie Ghost, those were some of the first local bands.
That's
that
who got us
online.
Into kind of, I mean, not what we're doing musically, but as far as like
going downtown, and
as
going
far
to
as like
shows,
doing
like
our music and being like very productive with it. I mean, Bob Reuter's Alley Ghost and Rum Drum Ramblers and the Hooten Howlers too. They totally kind of like they put it in our mind that you can do this. Like you can make original music, be passionate with it. I mean, we always made original music, but we were always just kind of like. We weren't doing it to the level we're doing it right now. We went down there and saw that show at what Big Muddy Records Chili Cook-Off.
Big Muddy Chili Cook-Off. Well, Bob Reuter playing with his full band was one of the first, probably the first live shows I've ever seen that literally, like, maybe one little tear fell out of my eye or something. I mean,
yeah, man,
seeing
these are
just, Bob Reuter
these
up
guys
there,
that live, around the town.
Yeah.
And I've never seen that before, coming up from St. Charles County, you don't see that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we don't
have
that
ever
here.
See that. And there's only like two venues to play at. When I was in high school, there was two venues, and those are all gone now.
Right.
So I mean, I was just kind of like, you're just a little bit out of touch.
Yep.
I mean, unless you dive in, and we ended up diving in because we got really involved in that stuff and just researched.
St. Louis
the hell
has
out of
so
it.
Many good things going on,
and ended up at that show. And we liked those guys beforehand. We knew the whole Reuter record and stuff. We never saw the Hooten Howlers before.
Yeah.
But we still had our whole set, but I mean, at that point, we were like, man.
We had just kind of started out, on a kind of figuring out where we wanted to go with the music, and those guys kind of showed us
that
lifestyle. You can
it's like
of,
these guys
you
have
do
like,
that,
they're
kind of
doing
shows that you can do it.
They might not be making a lot of money, but they're doing it.
Yeah.
Right now, it's like, I'm like working and stuff. I'm, doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, what I'm supposed to be doing in quotations, that's like you can't see that over the mic. But those guys kind of took us to the next level, be like, it doesn't matter, just do it and go with it. Live
just
that kind of
see what happens.
Like, gypsy kind of lifestyle, nearly. I mean, I don't know if that even sounds right, but you know what I mean.
There's a,
I get it.
You just kind of got to jump into it.
Yeah, I think there's some of that, where, as long as you keep, the day job or whatever, you have that safety net kind of thing, and then, but to really to push you to just jump out there and rely on your music to pay the bills or whatever, and it's going to push you either to rise above or to go back home or whatever. But
totally, that's what we've recently done this year. Is I mean, we went on a 30-day tour and ended up we quit both our jobs to do that, and it's been kind of riding with it thus far. And I mean,
you know, friends and family and just everybody. Sure. Just always kind of keeps you going and just fucking fun. I mean, just keep on the road.
Like I
get pretty intense. Whatever, it's hard work for sure.
I get that. You know, it's obviously it's
but it pays off in contentment.
Right.
I see these things on. I see these things online now, like these GoFundMe things to for bands, like to give them gas money and stuff. That they get, it's like, you know, it's like, isn't that the whole reason you're going? You're playing these shows that you know you should be able to manage the money that you're getting paid, or hopefully you're getting paid to
We're not super into doing Kickstarters and stuff unless we like would really need to, unless like our gear got stolen.
I just don't really like the idea of like people just handing
but I mean I do I mean you don't get paid. Like this last tour was a little rough. I mean, we didn't get paid for the first three
days.
There's
a lot of eating like dollar ravioli cans.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a Burger King. Burger King had the $1.49 10 chicken nuggets.
Yeah, we had a lot of nights eating 30 nuggets.
That's pretty badass. That's good.
30 nugget nights. But
well, that helps too. Like you said, you guys have been doing some, you know, net, you could, on this lineup, you got people from all over, and it's kind of, at least with some of that stuff, you could start doing like show swaps where
like all these guys are really, like everyone on this list.
Can I see that? Sure.
Right on.
I don't know if you can read my
Chris Black, the first one I see. Chris Black is one of the first people
we ever met out of town.
Paducah, Kentucky. Yeah. They are so good to us down there.
One of our favorite towns to go to. Yes.
They hook it. I mean, not much is going on in Paducah. I don't mean to downplay Paducah, Chris, if you're listening. But, I mean, ain't much going on there. There's like two bars.
Right.
And when you're playing down there, you're going to have a good time.
Yeah. Oh, really good people.
Let's see. Where's Calliope at? Calliope.
Milwaukee.
Those guys. Milwaukee
band.
Yeah,
those guys have thrown us.
Yeah, all these guys are really good buddies.
Really stellar psychedelic kind of rock band.
I'm glad you put the Flood Brothers on there because we added those on just about 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
But Flood Brothers, man, they're about the only guys doing kind of the similar stuff that we're doing.
Mississippi Hill Country Blues vibe.
Super Mississippi Hill Country Blues.
Really influenced by Burnside and Kimbrough. You know,
they actually tour with a Burnside, Kent Burnside.
Yeah.
But yeah, all those guys, every touring band on there are very close friends that we split shows. I mean, we try to as many times as we can throughout the year.
Yeah.
But that's how we do it throughout the entire... We try to find that all over the country, and we usually end up doing it.
And there's a lot of bands on there, you know, that weren't able to make it to the fest. Like
sure
Sean James and
there,
the Shapeshifters, the
One
Ghost Hollers, all from Fayetteville, Arkansas. You know, we try and get them up here and do the best we can to show them a good time. You know, likewise, we've always had nothing but amazing times in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Yeah. But that's the biggest thing like that we like about touring is it just makes you live. Like, I feel like I'm living just a way more healthy, fulfilling life because I'm meeting so many more people that have so much in common with me, because not many people are doing, you know, out on the road trying to do music stuff. And then when you meet people that are, like, doing the same thing you're doing, you instantly get that kind of, like, you know, camaraderie with them. So you, like, you follow them, you know, on their Facebooks or whatever they got going on, and you get really pumped. Like in Fort Wayne, Indiana, we were staying with Alex and Tessa, two great, great people that have housed many different bands in Fort Wayne, and we thank God that they were there because we'd have a place to stay without them. But he got really pumped, and he showed me the CD. He was like, you need to check out this band. They just came to Fort Wayne and just killed it, and it was Sean James and the Shapeshifters, and we had just played their album release show for that album like a month prior to that. So I was just like, yeah, this is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, name out it's there weird that you can meet like Travis Newton and County Graves. We've probably both seen that dude five times this year.
But you feel
but
like
he's one of our best friends
best
in the world.
Buddies right, right. It's, like, it's weird. Because, I mean,
he's like
we
a
left,
dude you get into a fight
We just
for.
Saw him in Chicago, and he just recently moved up there. And, you know, we left, and I was like telling Jake, I was like, man, you know what's weird is we've only seen him probably four, maybe five times. But, I mean, right when you see him, it's like you give a big old hug, and you're just super pumped. You're hanging out the whole night talking. It's a crazy thing.
That's when you know you're a part of a cool music community is when you see people, you know, four or five times. But every time you see them, it's like you just talk to them yesterday.
Yeah, they're just like brothers, man.
Well, there's nights when you're hanging out with dudes like that, and there's nights where, you know, first time in a town, nobody came, you got paid in a six-pack, and you don't know what you're going to eat or where you're going to sleep that night.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
But,
we
we
drove just this last tour.
It all ends up kind of worth it.
The worst night of this last tour was probably when played in Columbus, Ohio. We didn't have a place to stay. We drove
we Googled this campsite.
Oh,
we had a
Lord.
Campground. We had a camp. We had a tent in a sleeping bag. We got pretty hooked up with camping. Googled this campsite right out of Cincinnati. We were tired as shit. We drove, 3.5 hours. We got to this campsite. It was like 3:45. So we could maybe get like 3 hours of sleep before it got hot, before we got too hot to sleep. We pulled up. We're finally there. And it's just a freaking parking
it's
lot.
It's a concrete slab filled with RVs.
All RVs in a freaking parking lot.
We end up going to two other campgrounds. One place, it's like a golf course.
I can't
find any camping ground. Second place is just a park. No camping. We end up checking in 6 a.m. at a Red Roof Inn for fucking like 45, 50
bucks. It was
bucks,
64
bucks.
So we got to do a badass thing. If you check in at like 6 in the morning, you can sleep until your gig. And then
you also get the next night because you pay for one night, you get two.
It's really a great thing.
There's the trick, boys and girls.
Yeah. Right, totally.
I don't know the $64 amount, that just the number, I guess, what triggered the story, but I was also listening to Billy Gardell on Stern Show last week. I listen to a lot of Stern Show. I'm a big fan.
Oh, yeah.
And but his he told a story, and it was just like, it was a great message with it all. But he was saying how he's blowing up right now with this that Mike and Molly show on CBS. And
Stern's blowing up with that?
No, Billy Gardell.
Is he the main? Is he the guy?
He plays Mike.
Gotcha.
But he's been one of those guys that worked the road for years and years as a comic, and they kind of drummed up the thing like, he's an overnight success kind of thing. But the guy is,
he's been around a long time.
Right.
Was that the dude in Yesteryear too?
Yeah. He did a couple other shows. Yeah. But this is like his first, as a leading character and stuff. And
what's he playing? Yesteryear.
He's like the brother-in-law.
Yeah.
He lives in the backyard.
No, that's not him, is
it? He's one of Michael Molly.
No, that's not him, is it?
That's Michael Molly's.
He works he works with the dude who lives in the backyard. He's like a security guard or something like that.
Yeah, I can see that.
But anyway, he tells the
Yesteryear.
He tells the story that when he got the call for Mike and Molly, he's like, oh, let's go out and celebrate. He said he's gonna pull $100 out of the bank account and go to the casino or something and drink and have a good time with the buddies and then the wife's he calls home and tells the wife, hey, I'm going to do this, and she's like, oh no, you can't. I just checked the bank account. We have $7 in the bank account.
Damn.
So the guy was, this is proof that he was, struggling.
Right,
totally. Like, so he had
good thing that CBS thing paid.
Yeah, right. So he says he wrote drawn on his mirror in his bathroom, $7 or something like that. So reminds him every morning where he came from, So
that's so cool.
You could be eating McDoubles again, buddy.
Yeah, right. But that's just, goes to show, hard work does pay off, and then someday you're going to get that call where, somebody's going to give you a nice big deal to go on your own TV show. So
I was curious about your guys' writing style. We haven't really talked much about your writing stuff. So, you guys, how does that all come together? Does, one person say, hey, I got this melody, I got these lyrics, or whatever, and then you guys hash it out? Or
I feel like a lot of times the musical aspect of it comes way more easier. The lyrics is what's kind of harder to write for us.
So, but for instance, one song, The End of Me, it's a newer song. Jake got this chorus in his head, what's going to be the end of me? We hold out the wood a little bit. It's pretty cool. We worked on it for a little while.
And he'll write some
good
shit around
that. And I had a guitar part that I was messing around with prior to
that.
And kind of just working that aspect to go in with it and write more lyrics to it.
Usually one of us will kind of come in with an idea. We'll write the song and then go back and forth on what the words are going to be.
We're two musicians foremost. I'm a guitar player, he's a drummer. So the writing comes pretty much a lot of times.
We had never sang or thought that we would probably ever sing.
Yeah, we never really sang too much before this.
And that's when we joined together. It was kind of like, all right, well, we're both going to have to sing because neither of us have ever sang or probably even
good at
singing.
And it was more so like, I was like, Jake, you need to sing because I don't want to be the front man. And he was belted out this crazy deep voice that was like came out of freaking nowhere.
works really well with what's going on. I mean, it's a good voice that he, like, just came out. Like, it was, like, right when he came out. It was just, like, some deep freaking, like, I don't know. You know what I mean?
No, I got you.
Some Barry White shit.
Yeah, as far as that goes, like, right now we're writing a song, and I got the melody down for a guitar part, you know, and we're just going to morph in some lyrics after that. We usually get, like, a plot of what's going on. Like, I have, like, two lines right now, and it's a storyline, and we just go off of that. You know, we go off the storyline, we both think about it, and we try to both, I mean, our best songs, I feel like, are when we both are singing.
Yeah.
Splitting it. So we this, both
the
try
newer,
to have
one of our newest songs that we've written is going to be on this new record, but it's the first time we've ever sang at the both at the same time, and I like that a lot, so hopefully we'll do a little more of that.
It's actually the second time. The Gun was the first time.
Yeah, I think Gun, we do that too. That's the first song we ever wrote, I guess.
Yeah.
But
I guess was kind of talked a little bit off mic about it, but when I first heard your guys' name, you guys were playing with Patrick Sweeney.
Yeah.
And you guys said you did some stuff with Pat.
Patrick Sweeney is a stellar dude. Yeah, we played Paducah, Kentucky.
We played
with
off
him.
Broadway with him and went really, really great. Well, actually, what's funny is Chris Black.
Yeah.
On he's on the Whiskey Fest. We played Paducah, and then we stayed at his house that night.
Yeah. He's the first person
and he gave
that ever
me this,
showed us.
He showed us this Patrick album. Sweeney. He's like, you got to check out Patrick Sweeney. Because he gave us
every hour is a dollar gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a great record.
Oh, my God.
It's really good. All of his records are good. His newest record is really, really good.
But then
Dan Auerbach did that album.
You know, Dan Auerbach played in his band.
Yeah.
Yeah, back in the day. You know, which was crazy. I mean, to me, it's like, you know, Dan Auerbach wanted to, like, sought after Sweeney a little bit. You know, he wanted to join that band, and then Dan got huge, and Sweeney just is amazing anyway.
Sweeney's one of those songwriters that, like, I feel like touches, you know, both our souls really well. He sings a lot about touring and just, you know, being a musician, and, like, it's real life stuff, because songs about girls and whatever like that, you know, a lot of them are good, and probably some of them are my favorite songs, but I mean, that's what I really dig.
They're
is songs
hitting me harder
about
right
real life
now than the Dan Auerbach's songs now.
What one he's got about I forget the name now, but it's about getting pulled over in Columbia,
Missouri.
Yeah,
where I don't know that one.
Yeah,
he's got a new song like that.
No, it's on. Jeez,
ain't close to the floor, is it?
No, it's
one?
The one for the. Damn it! I should have my.
Sorry, Pat.
Yeah. No, I know, but he's...
He ain't listening.
You never know.
Yeah.
Like, you no, sons of bitches!
anyway, but it's...
Pothole.
He's singing about he's touring, and he's on the road, and he gets pulled over in Columbia, Missouri, and then they, you know, it's all about, like, how they're, you know... giving him a hard time because he looks suspicious or whatever, and obeying him.
How the hell does that guy look suspicious, man? Yeah. He's like the most clean cut.
He used to have long hair whenever he was doing it, you know.
He's about the most professional man in show business these days.
Yeah. Like, he's a badass, that's for sure.
And,
I like that dude.
I don't know what it was, man, but because Paducah, like Chris Black and me, like, it was like a mission, you know, undercover mission to get this dude to play Paducah. And, you know, I talked to Patrick separately, and then Chris talked to his booking agent, and we got him in Paducah, and he sold out Maiden Alley Cinema down there. And he was kind of just like, what the fuck's Paducah? I've never been to Paducah, Kentucky. I was like, they want me out there? That sounds cool, I guess. Yeah. $800, you know, whatever. I don't know if we need to talk about money, but that shit. But that was his guarantee. We got him out there, and, dude, he fucking just put on this, way crazier of a show than in St. Louis, man. He was just like, I think it was just because he was like, I'm in this town, people wanted me here. Yeah. I'm freaking here. I sold out the place, and he's just fucking like,
it was an amazing performance.
Strutting around the fucking motherfucking stage.
He had a bottle on it. He had a bottle on stage, and I thought it was water. The way he was drinking
it,
I was like, that's just water, man.
He was like, I don't want it.
He gave it to me and him, yeah, and it was like,
I took a swig of it.
It was like, man,
and,
that's some
harsh
moonshine.
But by the time
right
the end of the show, it was gone. He drank the whole damn thing. He was having a good-ass time.
Yeah, he's definitely one of those guys that feeds off the crowd.
It was like James
stuff.
Brown or something.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
like
he can play. He
James
can play like
Brown
nobody's business.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I love, on the new record, every gun. I love the way he like gets down on that one, like how it just, you know, takes over him. And,
My favorite's an After a While song.
Yeah, oh sure.
Yeah, After a While is really good. I like that. I forget the name of the song, but it's on Close to the Floor. The first song on there. But it's a fucking good one.
Yeah.
You guys have to check it out.
Yeah.
I know. I'm trying to remember all these bands that you guys are talking about. I'm going to have to, like, I have a list of bands I got to check out. I just added, like, 14 more to the list.
Hell yeah.
Which is fine by me, though. I love new music.
Yeah.
So what do you guys got coming up other than the Whiskey Festival?
All right, we got July 25th.
Well, right now, June 20th is our next show coming up. That's the RFT showcase. Yeah.
But we really need to get that's people gonna be out a lot of cool. July 25th Whiskey Fest County Preview.
Yeah, it's going to be a Redfish, Bluefish.
And we're trying to work as like a fundraiser to get all the touring bands' money. And we got an overhead cost for the Whiskey Fest that a lot of people don't know we have. But we want to get that going. We got the Flood Brothers in for that one. The old one, too, with Billy Skelton. Barn Mice, who just put out a cassette, which is our side project. We're
playing that. Hobo Empire, who you guys had on last time. They're St.
Band,
Charles
Fat
local.
Tramp Food Stamp.
Yeah, actually, Fat Tramp Food Stamp. I used to work with Mike Chumley.
Yeah.
Oh, we're a band.
Yeah. Right on.
That dude is hilarious, man. He came to one of the very first Whiskey Fest barbecues with a big old bottle of wine just, you know, he partied, you know, with us.
He gave us a bunch
of
money for that, man. It was a fundraiser. He just came in, plopped in some cash, and just partied down. And
he was a huge help. Huge, great dude. Just fucking
very supportive.
We just reconnected, and I realized he plays with that band. And like, I knew he played music when we worked together. This is also like 12 years ago. So it's like starting to kind of put the pieces back together. And I'm excited to see him play. And
I'm really excited for that show. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. The Flood Brothers are going to kill it.
Flood Brothers always kill it, man, for sure.
Yeah, that's a great show, and especially for St. Charles and Redfish.
Right, it's kind of a new thing for us because we have not thrown many shows in St. Charles.
We've actually only thrown one other show we were talking about earlier.
That was our mom's
Moonshine
birthday party.
Blues Bar, our mom's birthday party,
So...
And
hopefully this one, I mean, I'm sure it'll go good. It's a killer.
You know, we always have a good time. It's close to the house, and we get, you know, there's good bands in, good people coming out, you know. And
but the Whiskey Fest this year, 2015, is going to be the biggest we've had yet for sure.
I think
so. Fourth annual. We've got 22 bands.
Yeah, we got. Let's see. We mentioned Chris Black. You got Shitstorm.
Hell
Barn
yeah. Oh, yeah. Matt Stoller, good ass dude.
We got Path of Might. We're trying to go a little bit of a harder route, heavier route this year. So we got Path of Might and Shitstorm on that.
Yeah. We got Junior Clooney on. Really good dudes. Really good band.
Old Capitol Swear Dance Club.
One of our favorites.
One of our favorites.
This is such a killer name.
Totally. I mean, we got. Old
Ilphonics.
Souls Revival, Ilphonics.
Ilphonics is
a, that's
new
a good
thing
one.
For us too, man. We're
we've been trying to branch
out.
We've been getting more country and
different
stuff.
Genres on there and go to town with that. But I love Kevin. Kevin from the Ilphonics. He's a great guy. I know him real well. And I'm happy with that.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I love it. Like, I love to having a very nice blend of music. I mean, you know, that's. I mean, that if you go through the list of bands on this show, it's. All over the place, so it's that's how my iPod is
fun.
And my record.
I'm gonna fucking be there. I know that shit.
Yeah, you guys should all be there doing some interviews and shit.
Absolutely, man.
Well, cool, man. So when can we keep? When can we expect the new album? You got an?
We're hoping for October. You know, definitely this fall. Yeah. October, September, October, December, whatever.
We want to get it out on vinyl, but we're probably gonna get it on CD firsthand, just so we can start. Because we can't wait. We're gonna start a.
We
got to
start planning the tour now. So.
Yeah.
We're going to have something out for that.
But yeah, Kit Hammond did a great job with that.
Oh, yeah.
Produced and engineered that.
We got Nate Burrell helping us with some album cover stuff.
Richard Grissom is doing the harmonica.
Wolfman, our boy.
And,
doing some good stuff, man.
Wolf, 70-year-old. He's 62 years old. Sorry, Wolf. 62. And he's got a big old harmonica tattoo on his forearm. Big old friggin' burly beard. Lives out in... middle of nowhere in Illinois.
One of the best players you'll ever see, man.
So,
hands down.
You'll laugh.
He'll play the steel guitar, lap steel, harmonica.
I mean, it's like John Popper from Blues Traveler.
He's been playing for 45, 50 years.
Recording.
Really,
and I just laughed. Because I was just like, this is insane.
Yeah. Like, where did we find this guy?
It's insane. But yeah, he's going to be at Whiskey Fest 2 rocking out with us.
Nice.
Yep, that's going to be a good day.
Well, cool, guys. You guys are all over. You got the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Right? Yeah, we got an Instagram.
We try Instagram my shit. I follow some cool ass bands and artists and chefs, and I keep adding more and more people to it.
Instagram
now.
I just got into it about 5 months ago.
Maybe. We've had one for like 2-3 years though.
Yeah, we have, but we haven't used it.
I just like because it's like you know you're either speaking through videos or just pictures. There's no share this if you like this baby. It's like,
did you guys check out Facebook today, man? It was like mass overload of me sharing crap with Whiskey Fest.
Oh, yeah, we just released
the
Whiskey
Fest
today.
Pretty much took over the internet.
Good.
Probably pissed off some people.
That's fine, because either people are talking about how the Cardinals supposedly hacked some fucking... I'm like, who gives a shit? Like, how is that fucking news?
I need to dive into that. Sounds hilarious.
I keep hearing all this stuff about the woman who's supposed to be black or whatever.
Oh, yeah. She got fucking pumped out hard. That was awesome.
I saw the thing.
I try not to follow stuff that's on the news right now. It just seems
I'm just really upset that the Blackhawks won the fucking World Stanley Cup last night. I'm so disappointed.
Man, fucking.
And they dropped the D word.
Blues.
They dropped the dynasty word on them last night. I was so pissed off.
But dude, I gotta go to the bathroom.
I gotta do that again too. Take a little pee break.
Are we good?
This is it's been a lot of fun, dude.
We're over an hour. But that's cool. We had a good time.
But
come out to the Whiskey Fest, boys and girls. Make sure you come out to Redfish, Bluefish for the barbecue on the 25th of July. Support these guys, support everything they're doing, all the bands that are coming out.
Yeah.
Support Shane and his awesome show.
Totally.
Who?
Thanks
Fuck
for having
this
us
guy.
On here again. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely, man.
Thanks, guys. This has been a lot of fun getting to hang out and talk shop. And,
absolutely. I think it was just fun meeting in the unknown mafia room.
Yeah. Totally, man. I think we
Trailhead. Nobody knows about this
beers
place.
Big
shout out to Trailhead for catering this podcast tonight.
I think they're closing up. Right?
I think they're going to kick us out.
Maybe have been closed for a little while.
Yeah, but they
it's the after hours.
They've been very
mafia
nice
room.
To us and let us record here. So, thank you.
I just
pushed
my pants. I got to head to the.
Thank you, guys. Episode 80. It's a wrap.
Word them out.
Yeah.
Brothers. Up next is the Offers, all the way from Denver.